Listening to Thoughtless Casual Gaming with Brett and Jace. We are a Geelong-based gaming podcast where we play games badly and then talk shit about them. And tonight, we are going to a game that we're kind of okay at.
No, we're not.
We know a little bit about this one, at least.
I don't know much talking about.
Yeah. We're talking Blood Bowl, people. We're back to the basics, back to the original. But we're here. There has been breaking news this week. Not only are the Gnomes, the newest team, up for pre-order on Saturday, but we have the rules.
Most of them. Enough to start making uninformed decisions about what we're going to do.
And if there's anything we're good at, it's uninformed decisions.
Oh, it's going to be atrocious, and this is why I'm here. So the Gnome team, they are a thing. We have seen enough of the rules to sort of start chatting at least. I think, you know, there's some key parts missing, the cost of rerolls, the actual skill trees. I don't think we know what players have access to what skills yet. But I mean, fundamentally, 99% of our Blood Bowl games are sevens at the moment, and skills and rerolls are really not things that factor in.
No, not really. Progression trees, what are they? The only other thing we don't know is the limits on the positionals, but we can make educated guesses on those.
I mean, there's two of each in the box.
Yes, that's our educated guess.
I mean, I need to be able to have a badger and a goose, so I assume that's two of those. I like the goose. I think they've chosen well because they are potentially the two of the most terrifying animals of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. But geese are at next level. Like, I would take a cassowary before I took a goose.
Yes.
Those things are terrifying.
So, with first impressions, Jace, are you picking this team up?
I've already told Rich to put one, make what happen, get one in the store for me specifically. It needs to be a thing.
I'm definitely going to get my hands on one at some point. I'm just wondering whether I go for the GW team or if I wait for the inevitable Smurf team that somebody puts out.
There is already, I've seen designs for two of the regular 3D printing options. Mm-hmm. Who have already done sculpts or are in the progress of finishing sculpts for Gnome teams. So there are definitely ones coming.
Yeah, no, not, definitely. It won't be long before. They'll probably be out before the Gnome team comes out.
Terrifyingly. I'm pretty sure Caliverd's already got his available and Ugnes is like next month. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, without further ado, let's go through. So, right. I think the biggest question that people had before this release, article on Warhammer Community with all the rules, was whether they'd have dodge or not. Because we already knew they all of the gnomes come with jump up and wrestle as standard.
Yes.
And adding dodge to that
would be ridiculous.
Would be an absolute nightmare. And they don't. They have no dodge. No doubt they've got agility access, so they can get dodge at will. But they don't come with it out of the box, which is a good thing. I think with that, they would be way too overpowered for a stunty team.
Look, the other thing that was definitely speculated and debated is what strength they would be. Would they be a snotling team or would they be a halfling team? And they are firmly sitting in the halfling realm at strength 2.
Yeah, there are a lot of comparisons that people could make between gnomes and halflings. And apparently that's not a good thing because the gnomes hate the halflings. So,
although I will say, so BB Roster, which is one of my all-time favorite websites, is already updated most of the GNOME. So you can start creating GNOME teams now with very similar assumptions to what we've made. It looks like they've literally copy-pasted the Halfling entry and just changed a few stats and things. So, yeah, there would be some unhappy gnomes and maybe an unhappy Halfling or two. But, yeah.
look, it's been a... I know animosity is a thing, but I still remember the good old days of Third Ed where, like, racism was an integral part of the game. So, you know, this one wouldn't play with this one and these races hated each other and wouldn't be on the same team and blah, 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 blah. What made the Chaos All-Stars such a good team is because they had all these different races and they didn't dislike each other because they're all Chaos. So...
there's something fundamentally lovely in that, isn't there? It's absolutely. Like, really, who's the good guy here? Yeah. I think, look, the million-dollar question is what Dungeon Ball colleges are these guys going to belong to?
Mm-hmm. Which will be answered in the Spike magazine, which, again, goes on pre-order this Saturday. We're hoping it's going to be a one-week turnaround. It usually is with Blood Bowl. They don't save the Blood Bowl stuff for these two-week or three-week or whatever the big Age of Sigmar 40k things are.
People already know whether they're buying this or not. There's no hype required, right? Yes, they just need exactly. to drop it.
All right. Gnome linemen, let's go. Bread and butter of any gnome team. Gnome linemen are cheap and cheerful. Combination of starting skills can throw a spanner in the works for many opposition players, and coaches will need to be careful when taking on these pint-sized pugilists. If that wasn't enough, gnome linemen also come with right stuff, allowing their treemen teammates to launch them downfield with the ball or use them as missiles to take out the opposition, which is absolutely the right way to use it. The gnome linemen, 40,000 gold, movement 5, strength 2, edge 3+, passing 4+, AV 7+. These are halfling stats.
At 10k more.
At 10k more. They come with jump up, right stuff, stunty, and wrestle. So they're not getting dodge. They're getting wrestle and jump up and 10k more, which is cheap for a skill.
This is all true. No, they are exactly the same as a halfling, aren't they? Yep. Okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty straightforward. Jump up, wrestle. I mean, wrestle isn't one of those underrated skills anyway. It is glorious. It's wonderful. It means that people are less inclined to hit you, as well as all of the ball sacking abilities. And, you know, in a strength 2 piece, you're happy to throw an uphill block, knowing that you can wrestle them down, spill a ball, or at least just not be injured necessarily. Like, you know, there's good bits in that. I think there is still some concern with having all your players lying on the pitch, even if they're not injured, even if we're not trying to break armor 7. Jump up is great, but you've got to be careful about when you take it, I suppose, is the call, because your dudes are on the ground and they might be on the ground for your opponent's turn as well, depending on where you do this. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
I think the best point you made there was with the wrestle. Like, the you're quite right. Uphill blocks become a lot easier because you've got a 1 in 6 chance on each dice that you're going down, and it's a turnover, and that's it. Any other result, you know, is fine for you if you're going to wrestle them to the ground anyway.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it does make. Given that they're relatively cheap, you can have a few in reserves if you want. You can afford to wrestle things down to foul them to death, which is another, you know, you want to play numbers games. This is how we do it. So, look, they are more punchy halflings, and that's an interesting little piece. I mean, they're still edge 3 stunty, so they're dodging anywhere they want on a 3. That's not terrible anyway.
It's going to make him more hesitant without dodge.
Oh, absolutely. But in a pinch, those little dudes are getting where they need to be.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good one.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, yeah, give me a team full of them. We're doing all right.
And that's the thing. Like, the box comes with 14 players. Add your 2 treemen, which we know you can take 2 of. And that's 16 players. That's your team right there. Done and done.
What else do you need except for the inevitable star players that you need to play in the tournament? But, you know, we're not those people. Add Griff. No.
Speaking of the Treemen. So gnomes are very much at home within the woods and forests of the old world, and many of their teams will employ the services of a couple of Altern Forest Treemen to add some much-needed power to their line of scrimmage. When not blocking, these bark-covered behemoths can be... There's a lot of alliterations in this article, by the way. Can be put to good use with their throw teammate trait to launch gnomes here, there, and everywhere. So 120,000 gold... Movement 2, Strength 6, Edge 5 plus, Passing 5 plus, Armor Value 11 plus, Mighty Blow plus 1, Stand Firm, Strong Arm, Take Root, Thick Skull, Throw Teammate, Timber. That's a standard Treemen.
That is exactly a Halfling Treemen.
Do they come with Thick Skull as well? That's the only one I can't remember.
Here's one I prepared earlier.
Excellent.
They do.
All right, there we go. Exactly the same. What is written on the box.
Exciting things here. No loner. This is still wonderful. You know, they've already made comments that we can take more than one. So two there is great. That is a whole lot of the pitch taken up with giant trees. I mean, they do all the things that a treeman does, and I'm pretty sure that's a new sculpt.
Yes, it definitely is. So I think the issue with the Treemen sculpt originally was that it took forever to come out. They teased it and they showed pictures of it, and then it was like, you know, 84 years before the actual model came out, if we want to use a Titanic reference.
I actually don't hate the Treemen sculpts from GW, which is very upsetting because I do dislike the price.
I don't mind this one. This one... Mm. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it's quite different, but I like this better.
It is my fave.
Yeah.
But then moving you need on. Two.
Yes, you need two. And are they Forge World? They are.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's never happening.
Yeah, well. All right, here we go. These are the special ones. The positionals that we want to gnome about. Gnome Beastmasters are the glue that holds a gnomish front line together. As the only player in any team that starts with the exceptional guard skill, Beastmasters can assist their allies with the help of their furred or feathered friends, which also give them that extra point of armor value over the rest of their teammates. So of course, 50, that makes sense. Anyway, 55,000 gold, movement 5, strength 2, edge 3 plus, passing 4 plus, armor value 8 plus. So it's just the armor that's different to the lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Skills, guard, jump up, stunty, wrestle.
So we replace right stuff. We can't throw a beastmaster, but they do have guard. Clinging
onto the goose or the...
You are not going to try and throw a goose, right? That's not going to happen.
Isn't that like a goblin... diver?
A goose of pulp.
Yeah. Stick a gnome on the back of the goose and then throw the goose.
I mean, somebody is going to do a halfling, goblin, gnome, you know, all of the above team that they can run as all of them. And I definitely expect to see a goose of pulp.
Yep.
I mean, apart from the fact that this dude, A, has a badger and B, is like an old man yelling at a cloud.
He's waving his fist there.
He's just, I mean, for 55K, so for not heaps, you get a guard piece. Yep. Yes.
So stick that next to any of your other gnomes, they become a strength 3. That's a normal strength. Stick them next to the Treemen. The Treemen are 3 dice blocking most things.
And, you know, edge 3 stunty, they can go and guard wherever the hell they want.
Yes.
When we eventually get them dodge. but, you know, there's fun with these. Armor 8, they're still not going to stay alive forever, but you don't expect that with these teams, and they're bargain basement cost. There is nothing bad about guard. also, as someone rightly pointed out today, thank you, Ant, guard also works for fouls. So after we've wrestled someone down, we can just lay the boots in.
Hit him and hit him again. Excellent. Yeah, no, I'm liking the Beastmaster, especially the Goose.
They're terrifying. Gnome Illusionists.
Ah, yes. This is the interesting one, isn't it? So, Gnome Illusionists are the masters of tricks and illusionary magic and use their unique skills to confound their opponents. Their brand new trait, Trickster, allows them to reposition when they're about to be hit by a block action, potentially removing opposition assists or even forcing an opponent to follow up into a disadvantageous position. 50,000 gold. Movement 5, strength 2, edge 3+, passing 3+, armor value 7+. So they've got the extra passing.
Mm-hmm.
They have jump up, stunty, wrestle, and trickster. And what is trickster?
What is this new thing? So trickster, when this player is about to be hit by a block action or a special action that replaces a block action, with the exception of a block action caused by the ball and chain move special action. If you're going to vomit on him, if you're going to bloody stab him, all of those trigger it, right? Before determining how many dice are rolled, they may be removed from the pitch and placed in any other unoccupied square adjacent to the player performing the block action. The block action then takes place as normal. If the player using this trait is holding the ball and places themselves in the opposition end zone, the block action will still be fully resolved before any touchdown is resolved. So, if you're going to block this dude, you pick him up and you put him into, it's like reverse sidestep. I think that was the analogy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just put him, you put him somewhere adjacent to the player who's trying to hit you. So you can remove tackle, like remove assists potentially here. You can get into a slightly better position for when he pushes you. And that's arguably why it's better than sidestep.
Mm-hmm. I'm because not sure on this wording though. Like remove from the pitch. I don't know why. I get that you're lifting it up, but
I think the key point here is there's no possible way to do like chain pushes or things with this. Mm-hmm. It's not a push. You pick him up and you place him.
Okay.
I mean, you could just say you place him into any another, but then people would be banging on about whether the fox loses the ball when he's pushed off the pitch. Yeah. So I think it's to try badly and get around that.
It's GW wording.
The caveat around you don't get to illusion into the end zone is an interesting one. Mm-hmm. You still get hit.
I think that's important too. It brings back shades of the whole vampire thing with bloodlust and having to actually bite somebody if they fail bloodlust once they're in the end zone, otherwise they don't score.
There's no getting around the rules. I think it's interesting, 3+ pass is basically, you know, a thrower.
Yep.
So I'm going to assume, again, things we do not know, they're going to get access to passing.
Yep.
That's my assumption here. So suddenly you get a piece that the way I'm looking at this piece is a 3+ throw is always an at a pinch throw until they have pass or whatever else, right? But someone to pick up and run with the ball till you deliver it to whoever's going to do. And trickster is really just your get out of jail free card, so you can run down the sideline if you need to. You can, you know, if he is getting blocked, you've got ways and means to try and make that a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. The end zone action, basically, the only caveat there is you don't want to go directly behind the player so that his push will now push you off the end. But if you can position it, you know, on a diagonal in the end zone so that you push further into the end zone, that's always an option. And it may be the fact that it's been a very long day, but we can't think of any possible outcomes where moving will give you extra assists or extra guard, because it's always those people are going to be next to the hitter anyway.
Yeah. They don't move. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think the other thing with the illusionist is what happens once they start getting some other skills. Mm-hmm. So there'd be some fun skills that could play with this, right? So you're passing to get you either an on-the-ball piece or even just a pass. Like, it's somebody to carry the ball for a little bit to hand off, right? Good. But a fend or a sidestep or any of those that help you get closer to where you want to be. So then you can jump over a player, get pushed somewhere, choose where you go. All of that is glorious. I really, really want to see one of these guys with dump off.
Yeah.
So you hit him, he jumps, you do a bad block, but also he doesn't have the ball anymore. Like, that'd be fun.
I mean, effectively giving him almost anything, but like even a push result, or even if he goes down, barring the wrestle, you're getting an extra, by being blocked, you're getting an extra 3 squares of movement, effectively.
It's good.
In a lot of cases. So, you know, come hit me and now all of a sudden I'm an 8 movement gnome instead of a 5 movement.
That is a lot of pitch to cover and a lot of ways to just pull your opponent out of position. Like, you kind of do the math where you're like, all right, I'm going to push you and you're going to be there and this is how it's going to look in an action or two. And all of a sudden you just mess with that completely and make people think on the fly. Mm. And that's how mistakes are made. I don't think they're bad.
No. No, they're also, no right, these are the interesting ones. Yep.
You can't throw an illusionist. No right stuff.
Yeah. Again, I think the best use of throwing a teammate is throwing them at people.
Yeah, but you need to start throwing up models at people.
Yeah.
I am just looking at those. Well. Who has the ball and how far can I get down the pitch? Now, here's the fun.
Oh, yes.
Here is the player we're waiting for. The Woodland Fox.
Perhaps the most surprising player to be part of the gnome team is the swift and lithe Woodland Fox, with a movement of 7 and an edge of 2+, and the stunty trait.
Fucking yes.
I know, right? These canny canines can dart through opposition defensive lines with remarkable ease. And with sidestep, they can be incredibly hard to pin down.
Good.
However, Woodland Foxes also come with the new My Ball trait, which prevents them from willingly giving up the ball, no matter how much they are told to drop it. Are foxes dogs?
I mean
effectively they're here, but
they're in the canine family, right?
Okay. Woodland Fox, 50,000 gold, movement 7, strength 2, edge 2+, no passing. Funny that. Armor value 6+. So they're gonna go down a bit easier. Which is a shame because they are the stars of this team for me.
They are the best thing on this team. Like, I don't want to move the ball around between players anyway. Like, that's just room for failure. So give me good movement, but edge 2, dodge, sidestep, stunty.
Yeah, that is just nuts.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited by these little dudes. So My Ball, let's just really quickly run through that. A player with this trait may not willingly give up the ball when in possession of it, and so may not make pass actions, handoff actions, or use any other skill or trait that would allow them to relinquish possession of the ball. The only way they can lose possession of the ball is by being knocked down, placed prone, falling over, or by the effect of a skill, trait, or a special rule of an opposing model.
Such as strip ball.
Yeah, these guys can't get fumble risky. That's a disappointment.
Why so serious for fumble risky on all foxes? I love this skill. Like, realistically, you're giving the ball to this fox. He is belting up the pitch to score a touchdown. You don't really need the ball to go.
I want to do bullshit elf things and just dodge through 46 tackle zones and giggle. Like, that's what this guy is for, and he is going to be the best at it.
And it just seems very thematic too, with the edge 2+ and stunty. You can just see this thing running through people's legs. and, you know, tripping them up or whatever as he goes belting towards the end zone, and nobody can stop him. So there are two models for this one, one with the ball in his mouth, one without.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I want to put both of them. Like,
yep.
I can't. There's no bad here.
I want to see the ball one from different angles, because just from certain angles, it looks like he's got a very big Homer Simpson face.
It I do think I'm looking at the one with the ball at the moment, and it looks like it is very large for his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's dislocated a jaw or something. But yeah, again, foxes they can open wide. But yeah, I'm waiting for other sculptors to bring out things with themed balls that foxes are carrying around, like a chicken or something dangling. Or
yes, oh, that'd be fantastic. All right. What's different about gnomes? Gnomes bring a lot of fun and whimsy to the gridiron, but they provide a challenge for existing coaches looking to broaden their Blood Bowl horizons by being different to other stunty teams, and they are absolutely a stunty team, so they're going to be Tier 3. Gnomes fit a niche not yet explored within the game. Their unique combination of skills and traits gives the gnome team their tricksy feel. Utilizing the gnome illusionist alongside the mass of jump up and wrestle will allow players to get around opposition lines, and the gnome beastmasters will allow gnome teams that better chance to go toe-to-toe with other stronger teams and also beat up the other stunty teams a bit more. When it comes to scoring, woodland foxes are your go-to piece. I mean, you know, thematically and just image-wise, why would you go anywhere else?
It's so good.
Although they cannot give up the ball, there is something very satisfying about watching a wily fox dart through opposition lines, pick up the ball, and then run into the end zone, no doubt wagging its tail with joy. And in which case, they've put a picture of the fox falling over, haven't they? Just to emphasize it.
But it was in the end zone, so it's okay.
All right, good. Yeah, we'll assume he's happy, so we'll assume it's the end zone.
Yeah, that's actually him spiking the ball and not tripping at all. You can't throw a fox, also disappointing. It is actually an interesting piece here, worth noting that although the gnome team is part of the Halfling Thimble Cup, they are not intended to have access to cheap Halfling Master Chef. Halflings save their best rates for their own, after all. It will be addressed in the Make Designer's Commentary. So basically, they're in the Halfling Thimble Cup for access to things like star players.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't getting cheap master chefs.
Which is good. I think that's absolutely the correct call. I think, you know, this team is different to Halflings. It has advantages over Halflings. I like Halflings, but I don't think their positions are very strong.
No.
This one gets the trees, which are the strongest ones. But
you've got to.
Yeah, absolutely.
They needed something, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, look, it's really important to distinguish these guys from halflings. And we know full well that people will take flings to a tournament intentionally with the master chef and everything like that as a tactic, right? And if you had another team that could do that, it kind of means flings are that more redundant.
Yeah.
And this has more tricks. So I think, you know, it is a good call. It does create some separation. It gives the team a separate play style. And, you know, bashy flings, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Like having that master chef being halflings, get it only cheaper, and the lack of dodge, I think, you know, good features to distinguish the two teams apart.
Yes. So I think, look, we don't play a lot of 11s and a lot of tournament 11s, so I'm not going to comment on what my team would be and what star players I would invariably use to fill up the void. But I think at a really quick one, you can throw in two of each positional, fill it up with linemen to 11 players, take three rerolls, and you've still got 150K in the bank, assuming rerolls cost the same as halflings.
Yep.
I mean, you're still going to have points for your star players. That's the moral of the story there. And you're going to have some different tricks and fun that you can play. They're tier three, so you're still going to get decent skill options. So you can load them up. And that's about as much as I thought of for for 11s.
You want to be able to take the guy with the fishing rod. Star player with the fishing rod. I just love that idea.
I'm hanging out to see what the special rules are. I'm never going to play him, but I want to know what they do.
Yeah, for sure.
Sevens. Now, that is a game we play.
And that is tricky here.
And that's not even a pun. No. I have about six teams I'm bouncing between to go, which way would I run and how would I do it? And I think fundamentally there are what? Four positions here. The Illusionist, the Beastmaster, the Fox and the Tree.
Yep.
You only get four positions. So the easy option is one of each. Probably not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible choice.
Technically, you only get three options because you're going to choose, you've got your lineman, you've got your three positions, and you've got your fox.
I absolutely and wholeheartedly agree with that. However, if you wanted to go mass bash, you could take two guard pieces and two trees.
Mm-hmm.
And played the bashiest flings that have ever bashed.
Yep.
And just forget the ball. Load up your bench and foul the living shit out of everything that you can knock down with or put down with wrestle. And just try and with a stunty pitch clear.
I would love to see that.
That could be fun.
It could be a lot of fun.
It doesn't get you a fox.
No.
I would feel a little bit naked without two trees.
Yeah, I think the tree is probably the obvious one to take two of in sevens. I mean,
sure, so much of the pitch.
Yeah, sure they will root themselves at the worst possible time. But when they don't, they're really serious threats for your opponent.
Even if they do, they take up so much room. Like, I feel like, yes, having a rooted tree kind of sucks because they can't move that whole two squares, but like, there's still a huge threat. And if someone wants to touch them, they give back up and then they're not rooted anymore eventually. As far as neg traits go, it will bone you at the worst possible time, as they all do. But at least they still got their tackle zones. At least they're still able to do stuff. That stuff just isn't moving. But
throw linemen at people.
Yeah. You can just funnel things into the tree and let the tree play whack-a-mole.
You can jump over with your illusionist to bring the opponent closer to the tree.
And realistically, at sevens, we're playing fast, right? They're not going to be on the ground for long. They're not going to be rooted for long. Something's going to happen. So I think, look, two trees, there's your starting point, which means you need to get rid of a position.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting rid of the fox. I think we've made that clear.
Yeah. I would be more inclined to go two trees, the fox, and the beastmaster.
I think that is my default. The illusionist is fun. It's tricksy. It's a lot of stuff. But you know what it ain't? It's not guard. And that is just such a rock solid skill and an armor value 8 piece as well, hopefully to stay on the pitch for a fraction longer or to give someone, you know, something to do with claws. One of those two. But no, I think that would be my starting point. But you could, there's so many options, like illusionist as a pseudo thrower, ball carrier, someone to hand the ball to the fox, which means you can play aggressive with foxes. So you could do something like a tree, an illusionist, and two foxes and just go, all right, I've still got a tree to stand in the middle and do nasty things and maybe throw halflings, which is important, but that kind of gets you the most ball movement, particularly if you have the illusionist with the ball who decides to leap over somebody trying to hit him and then gets pushed away and then hands it to a fox. Like, you've just moved.
Let's just ignore the handing off part. Like, he's your thrower. Short pass to a fox, 3+ pass, 2+ catch for the fox.
Mm-hmm.
And just get that image in your head of the fox jumping up into the air to catch the ball in its mouth and then legging it down the side.
Yeah. I mean, and dodge stunty edge too.
Yes. What we're saying here is that we could potentially run next league as gnomes only and still see various
variations.
Which is beautiful in a team. That's what you want from a team. You want those options. You want to play around and work out the best way for you of playing that team. Because mm-hmm. the way that you play it may be different to the way that Jace plays it, may be different to the way I play it.
Now, again, working on assumptions here, but in all of those instances, you can take 7 players, or you can take a bench, effectively. You've got the cash to take a bench. So you've got that 8th player sit there. Great. Happy days. Or you can play 7 players for your first game and a reroll.
In sevens.
Even with 2 trees, you can run 2 trees, a fox, a beastmaster, and then 3 linemen and a reroll. Play that for 1 game until you've got the cash to get your other bench.
It works.
So good.
And having that reroll for that, just that 1 failed 3+ dodge that you need to make.
Yeah, that fox into the end zone, go for it.
Yep.
I'm pretty excited for these guys. It really does throw a spanner in the works because I'd almost landed on what next season was going to look like. I'm already thinking about next season because I've written off this one.
After your results so far, that doesn't surprise me.
It is. It's not been. I even tried to cheat through 1 game and it didn't work. that was completely incidental. I'm still sorry, James. I'm interested because I was probably going to take Elven Union, but now these just look like fun. And
how many gnome teams are we going to see?
I mean, that is the interesting thing, because I really, either it's an all or nothing, right? Because what I don't want is half of the players in a division to take gnomes and then other ones to play a gnome team every other week. But if everybody does it, it's fun. Or if no one else does it, it's fun. So that's probably going to be a deciding factor too.
Yeah. I was intrigued when this season, you know, vampires are the new flavor. We have 21 players and I'm the only one playing vampires. That did surprise me. How's I expect to see more gnomes people. I'm above you.
I mean, that's a low bar to set yourself.
You're the only person I've beaten.
And everything went well for you that game. Anyway.
I did learn a lesson against Josh, which I'm totally going to use against Ant. And
ooh.
Yeah. That's going to totally stuff half his elves. No, not at all. Anyway, what we're saying, these look awesome and a lot of fun.
The model's good. The rules are good. The flavor is fun. I think there's enough potential for tricksy silliness. It's not going to be an absolute powerhouse, I don't think. It's not going to be like the Snotling Underworld thing where they thought they were releasing a joke team and actually they turned to be ridiculous. But they're gonna be fun. I'm really excited to throw them on the pitch and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you should do after listening to this is message your friendly local gaming store and get them to get one of these in for you.
Yeah.
Because they are going to
be... Not my one.
No, don't get Jace's one. Get one of your own. I'll teach you how to steal Jace's.
That one is mine.
All right. Anything else you want to say?
No.
No. All right. The only thing that I will mention is, again, 1st of June for anyone that wants to come down or is in the Geelong area already, Thoughtless Bowl 5 is going to be a gnome-friendly tournament.
Yes. I'm so pumped for this.
Yeah. There's no way we're not letting gnomes in. So,
and if I need to make up the available skill options, I will do that.
So get your ticket in. We have an awesome day planned. 1st of June, guys. Details are on Facebook.
It's that simple.
Yep. Anyway, give us a follow if you haven't already. Facebook, Spotify, Podbean, Twitch, etc., etc., etc. If you want to help us run a few giveaways and stuff, I need to do a giveaway for this month. I haven't organized that yet. By tomorrow, there will be a giveaway up on Facebook, Instagram, etc.
Look at that.
For April, I will organize that. But if you want to give us a hand, help us run these awesome things and tournaments and all sorts of stuff that Patreon money goes towards. We do have a Patreon. We thank each and every one of our Patreons. I've got a list of all the names on the website. But in particular, we do thank Thoughtless Patreons, highest level, most insane people that we love, although question sanity.
That's like every relationship I've ever been in.
So thank you very much, Alice, Archie, Clinton, Gertzy, Jared, Kingsley, Yuri, and new ultimate Patreon, Craig. Thank you very much, guys. Much appreciated.
Wow.
Yeah, I hadn't told you that, had I?
No.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Laters.
Gotcha.
One star. Thank you.